Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, this is one of those movies.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Hello!
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Hi, everyone!
And because of popular demand, we're going to do an Annihilation mini-pod.
Yeah!
Annihilipod.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the movie isn't hammering it box office wise.
What is it doing?
It made $11 million over the weekend.
I actually felt pretty good about my prediction that it was going to bomb, because yesterday I saw an article that said Annihilation's failure at the box office. Who's to blame? Audiences or the studio? So yeah, I don't think it's going to make much money.
No, it's not. I mean, $11 million here in America. It'll make a little bit more worldwide, but it makes something like that, it's gonna drop off pretty hard probably next week, because even though there are people who are gonna go around saying I love this, it's still not the type of movie that gets everybody out to come see it.
You know?
So it's,
well, it was also, even to people like us who are into the director and into the cast and everything, it was marketed so weirdly that you had no clue what was going on from the trailer. Now, that's the best way to present it.
They could have done what I think they could have done. You're right. I was glad when the trailer didn't tell me much, because I was all in just with the director and the cast and the concept. But they could have given us a lot more of the trippy in the trailer.
Yeah.
To at least let people who like that know that that was there, because there's no evidence it's that kind of movie from the trailer, and to let people know who aren't into that, hey, maybe this isn't your bag.
Yeah,
because the only people I've seen who haven't liked it are the people who went in just basically completely blind, and just instead of regular sci-fi, they got this.
Yeah,
and it's just too much for some people.
I mean, when one of the reasons I got worried about the trailer was because it cuts to like the animal with the plants on its antlers, you know, which out of context looks like kind of just weird creature CGI, and I'm not into that.
Mm-hmm.
But in context, it's gorgeous, and it works beautifully.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what, it's just a weirdly marketed movie. I don't really know how. It's like Mother. Like, how do you actually market this movie?
Yeah, that's why you have you know, it came out on February 23rd. It's that release date, man. I'm telling you, you see something like that coming out on that date, you realize it's just not anything they could push in the spring. It wasn't a summer movie. I mean, you could see this movie kind of movie coming out in like mid-April sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same type of deal. And it wasn't bad enough to be a January movie. So like it's in that weird, you know, we hope it does something type of
see what happens here.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately it had to run up against the second week of Black Panther and Game Night was taking some, I mean, even Game Night didn't really do great, but
Game Night's going to have a big second weekend.
I mean, it might have a drop that's not very big.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
Yeah, but it won't. I don't think it's going to have a huge, like, you know, like, oh, people are seeing this and just telling everybody to go see it. And
it's one of those movies though that it's pretty well rated on Rotten Tomatoes by the critics. It's like an 8 point something, but the audience score is even higher. Like the audience word of mouth, I think, is pretty high. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. I'm an apostle for this movie.
Well, the other thing about Annihilation is, what is the deal with the Netflix release? Like, the rest of the world is getting a Netflix release?
Three countries got the theatrical release. Mm-hmm. I think it's China, Canada, and the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is getting Netflix somewhere in the first week of March, I think.
Okay, yeah. So pretty soon afterwards.
It's a very curious, it would be an interesting case study, I think, in hindsight, to see how it does. Because a lot of people I've seen on Twitter are disappointed, people around the world, that they can't see it until March something. Mm-hmm. And here I am on Twitter going, this movie's awesome! So we'll see how it does. I also would, you know, I would like to watch it on Netflix, but I don't think I'm going to be able to for a while because I think that's part of the distribution structure. Anyway, Annihilation.
Yeah, Annihilation.
Without spoilers, did you like it?
Guys, I'm going to be the one that's different in this room.
Wow. Oh, yeah? I
didn't like it.
Wow. Really? Interesting. Now, I can, as Jeremy and Jeff were saying last week, I think you said, like, I dig it, but you could come up with a counterpoint about not digging it, and I really couldn't argue with you.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to turn some people off. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Now, when I say I didn't like it, I'm not putting it in F or D territory here.
Right.
It's not bad. It's just that I did not like it. And I have, even after I watched it and came up with my own opinion of what this movie is about, and then went on the internet and started reading all the other interpretations and
all the other
and all of that, and at least one matched the one that I thought. Even after reading that and going, yeah, that's totally fits with what I saw in this movie, it didn't make for me to say this is a good movie or this is something that I liked anyway.
Hmm.
I don't know. Did Alex Garland come out and say that Americans wouldn't understand this movie or something?
I
haven't seen that either, but I heard it from somebody, and I was like, okay, well, it's an interesting thing to say. I mean, just, you know, that's really the only country that you have right now to be watching the movie.
Yeah.
But,
well, and considering it's set in America and stars Americans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess it's sci-fi concepts that are, you know, this kind of big level sci-fi concept type of thing is what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And he might be talking about a certain portion of America or whatever that can't, you know, deal with something like this. But
wasn't 2001 A Space Odyssey, wasn't that kind of panned by critics, or it was like
so
middle of the road, that
kind
of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was a hit or anything.
Not necessarily comparing it. I am comparing it a little bit, and we'll get into it a little bit in spoilers, but this could be something like that.
Could be.
Where, like, some of the critics, I think I mentioned that Woody Allen, when he first saw 2001, he didn't like it, and then he saw it like another three times. By the third time, he was like, this is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, this has the potential for something like that.
It can, and obviously I will watch it a couple of more times before I come to a final verdict, but after my first viewing, and we'll get into it in the spoilers as to why I feel this way about this movie, but yeah, I mean, here's a guy that has really done no wrong as a writer and as a director so far. And of course, maybe that's possible that I was going in expecting something.
Yeah.
Really, you know, and it, you know, it was disappointing as to what was in my head, but, I'm probably going to put this in. Originality means so much to me.
Mm.
And I think this would be a C+ normally, but I'm going to give it an extra little oomph to the B- because of the originality factor. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going to sit on this one.
All right. And Barrett, you liked it, right?
I did. Some of the CGI in here is a little bit off putting. Some of it is genius, I think.
I can't wait to discuss those things.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that keeps it out of like solid A territory for me, but I think it's B+, A- for me, because you can tease this thing out so many different ways, and each way that you look at it is valid, I think, and you can make a strong argument for it. And so kind of doing a thought experiment and saying, like, what if it is about this, and then viewing it from that lens and then something else, that is very cool to me. And it makes the story more dynamic, I guess.
Yeah.
And I'm down with that. Performances were awesome. Music in this movie fucking kicks my ass.
Yeah. Yep.
I could see some people being turned off, especially towards the end, because it goes to a... different place.
Man, that's when it started hooking me even more.
No, I love that music, and I loved it in the trailer, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That weird little whatever it is. Yeah. It's like a keyboard getting thrown into a time warp. You know,
it all starts with those bass, that cello. Like,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I was just like, yeah, there. I think I had a conversation with a friend of mine about this movie, and it basically went like this. He said, it doesn't answer any of the questions. And I said, I think it's only interested in asking the questions. And my friend said, well, I didn't even understand what some of the questions were.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fair reaction to have, because this movie throws a whole bunch at you and says, figure it out.
Yep.
Now, for me, maybe it's just where I am in life, where I was the night. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen a movie with my brother. I was geeked out to love this because of Ex Machina. But honestly, just like my brother, we both walked out really confused. Yeah. And it wasn't until the next morning when we both kind of went, yeah, I dug that.
Same thing happened to me.
And so, there's nothing I can say against Chris's opinion. I can't wait to dive into the specifics of what we all liked and disliked about it. But for me, it's a solid straight A.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to go back, but I will be going back to game night first.
Oh, okay.
Which is something we'll talk about later.
We'll do a game night mini pod. I just have to see it.
Anyway, so yeah, solid A. Anything else to say before we get into the spoilers?
I don't think so. Mm. I think this is a movie that if you want to dive into it,
yeah, you're gonna have to dive into
spoilers.
It. Yeah.
So that's what we think before we get into the spoilers, and now let's get into them.
Bring it. Yeah. Bring it.
No spoilers!
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. She's the sister and the daughter.
No. I'm reading the books.
So, yeah, the thing about this movie is that it's setting up this, and this is, I actually read this on one of the movie sites decided to do a breakdown of this movie, and this is basically what I thought was going on during the whole thing, is what if the Earth got cancer, is mm-hmm. basically the conceit of this whole movie. We see at the very beginning of it, some meteor hits a lighthouse, and from that, all this sort of, this shimmer comes from it and everything, and it starts growing and growing. And, they're at one point, I do love the line where they're in their little facility and everything. And Jennifer Jason Leigh is like, in a couple of months, it will be where we're sitting right now.
Yeah.
And so like everything that they encounter in this whole thing is, they see the tree with all the weird flowers and stuff growing on it and everything. This is sort of an allusion to cancer. All these other different things that they keep seeing, like just different. It's a metamorphosis of some sort.
Well, the DNA replication or the cellular mutation that she sees is essentially cancer. And she even mentions like some sort of tumor mm-hmm. at the beginning too.
Yeah.
All those shots are kind of like setting you up for this cancer metaphor.
Right. What is she teaching when she's in her classroom? She's teaching about cancer and cell division and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's, and so like everything they encounter behind her, and plus all the women who they send in here have some sort of affliction or like loss or something,
or actual cancer,
or actual cancer in the case of Jennifer Jason Leigh. So that seems very basic and simple to me. If you look at subtext in the movie mm-hmm. and everything, for me, does that make it a good movie that it has this nice subtext to it? And I felt like, and this is going to be a bad comparison because it's a bad movie that I'm going to compare this to, but it reminds me of The Village, where mm-hmm. you are watching this movie wrapped to see how it's going to end. And all the way through it, leading up to that point, there's hardly anything I can grab onto that makes me want to continue watching other than the ending. Like there's mm-hmm. nothing in here. There's no real meat, I feel like, to make you keep watching over and over again.
Hmm.
And I feel like, as deep as that movie can be in talking about cancer or self-destruction, which is another one that I've seen thrown around, there's nothing really, if I didn't know that there was some sort of ending to this that sort of, I don't know, it doesn't really reveal much, but it just doesn't seem like there's much to grab onto until you get to that ending.
Hmm.
So that's where I'm coming from on this.
That's all right.
There doesn't seem to be anything like just entertaining enough in these middle sections. And yes, things happen, but it's like, you know, there's the weird crocodile attack.
Yep.
And then there's the I think the best part of the movie is the nightmare bear, yeah, that has the scream thing coming out of his. Now that's the best part of this movie for me.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
It's a really smart way to use, you know, what you've set up in terms of, you know, the mutation,
mm-hmm.
evolution, to scare the shit out of me. Mm-hmm. Because that is truly one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a concept I've never seen used before on film, no. Where like you're hearing the last words of the victim come out of the killer animal's mouth mm-hmm. as it comes to kill you. Just freaky on a bunch of different levels. This is actually, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, this is actually the first I've heard of the cancer stuff, and I totally think that's dead on.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those people approaching it from more of a self-destructive kind of approach, where mm-hmm. the movie, for me, and again, one of the reasons I love this movie is I feel like different people can take away different things from it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fairly self-destructive person. And so a lot of that imagery and talk and dialogue really hit home for me. And it's pretty on the nose there in that scene with Jennifer Jason Leigh talking about, you know, everybody has some sort of self-destruction, whether mm-hmm. it's smoking or drugs or an affair. Of course, Natalie Portman has had an affair.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with one thing, is that by the time we get to the end, one or two answers I think would have helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One or two.
Yeah.
I can still, there is a point in the middle of that shimmering, colorful, rippling thing hovering in the center of the cave during all that amazing music mm-hmm. where I just went, fuck it, I don't care. Mm-hmm. This
Me
is
too.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally, I did want answers up until that point. And in hindsight, I would love to know one or two things. Was it an alien? Is Oscar Isaac an alien? Is mm-hmm. Natalie Portman now an alien? I don't know.
There's some of that I think that is at least somewhat answered.
Well, I don't think Oscar Isaac is himself.
No, I think that's fairly
blew
clear.
Himself up,
yeah, that's answered.
So but I don't know what he is.
Right.
I don't know if he's supposed to be an alien or some kind of mutation or DNA combination of Oscar Isaac and something else.
Okay, so here's one question that I think is valid. Okay, so I think just as Jennifer Jason Leigh's clone or whoever that was in the cave says, it doesn't want anything. It just is, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Just like cancer. Cancer is not here to kill you. It's just existing. It mm-hmm. basically, you know, leeches onto the DNA and or not to the DNA, but to the cells, makes its own thing and does its own thing. It just happens to be in conflict with regular carbon-based, you know, life forms. What this is, I think, is that it is at least from the sky, because we see that
right.
meteor come in. And I think it started off, you know, because it's refracting, I don't think it did want anything. I think it was just literally existing.
Yeah.
What I think is the counter to that, though, is why was Oscar Isaac the only one to get out? And why was Natalie Portman, his wife, the only other one to get out?
Yeah.
I think that it's morphed into something that does want to be, and that they sent Oscar Isaac's clone out, we call him Oscar Isaac, whatever his character's name is, Kane, I think.
Kane.
Yeah.
They sent Kane out to essentially recruit Natalie Portman's character so that she would go in and that they would have a chance to mate and propagate this species.
I totally agree, by the way. I totally agree.
Wait, I'm confused. Go ahead. I'll catch up.
No, I totally agree. I think yes, they let Oscar Isaac out, and either they know that he's married to somebody or that he will propagate the species mm-hmm. with somebody out on the outside. But he's, you know, before he blows himself up with the phosphorus grenade or whatever mm-hmm. it is, he's like, go and find Lena and tell her about this and everything. Well, okay. So after he goes and tells her all of this stuff and everything, well, actually he doesn't ever tell her. That's one thing he doesn't tell her what's going on.
No, and I think that's maybe by design, because it knows possibly that she will follow or she will seek her own answers.
Yeah, I mean that totally fits.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting thing for me at the ending of this is, there's two parts to this. Is the alien Natalie Portman the one that's leaving? Did she actually kill the real Natalie Portman?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the alien one that's getting out, because they don't really, they just show them tug of war. And it's just like one of those, you know, movie scenes where somebody's the copy of the other person and
right.
which one to shoot, you know,
well,
that
yeah,
type of.
And this is my brother and I came out with completely differing opinions here. He thinks that's the real Natalie Portman. I thought it was an alien.
Yeah. Well, here's the second part to this. It doesn't even matter. I don't think. Because she's looking at her cells all the way through.
They've been
this.
Changed. Yeah,
they've
she's
already been changed.
Altered.
Yeah. Yeah, they've already been changed. So like, it doesn't even matter. As long as one of them gets out,
right.
it's fine.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I got to ask you this then. Why does either of them need to get out if Oscar Isaac's already back out here in the real world?
Well, he was close to death, though.
Well, and he only came
Until
back to life
shimmer.
After she did something. What
well,
was
yeah.
she doing? What did she have to go in there
she
to
destroyed
do?
The shimmer. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's like the cosmic.
They can't procreate until they. Maybe that's the evolution of whatever this alien thing was.
Right.
Originally, it's just a kind of a cancer, and then its next stage of evolution is, oh, I want to procreate.
Yeah, exactly. So it's now out in the population rather than being like a central location.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, this is one of those movies.
Yeah.
And you know, I could probably watch it on a given day in a given mood and get really frustrated with it.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to watch it on a night where I decided I was down for some confusing ass visuals. You know, I've seen a lot of, I thought Natalie Portman was fine in this movie, but I don't think any of the actors are really doing any of the lifting here. I think it's the concepts, the visuals. You know, I didn't see anybody acting their ass off.
I did with Tessa Thompson. Cause she was by far the most vulnerable. I thought she was the most nuanced. She has an interesting and tragic backstory, and that final shot of her that wasn't even full on
mm-hmm.
when her veins start bulging out
yeah.
and she's putting the flowers in there and she's walking off and you can see it just kind of like consumer, but not the entirety of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant.
Well, and then Lena runs to go find her and all she sees is
yeah.
those little plant like things. And like, she could be one of them, but
yeah.
you
flower
know,
people,
flower people. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, what I did like about the movie is how many different genres it touches.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first about third of this movie feels like it's going to be mostly a psychological sci-fi film, right? All the way up until when they go into the shimmer and wake up and suddenly 3 days have passed.
Yeah.
Which is something I wish they would have gone back to
Me
that
too.
A little
Me too.
More, because it was just kind of dangled there and then that never happens again.
Right.
Yeah.
They are totally aware of all their time, as far as we know, the entire rest of the film, which is frustrating.
Well, even though he does say at the beginning that it's been 4 months, 3 months or something like that, she thought it was only a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But still.
Yeah.
Anyway, so and then after that is we not very long till we get to the abandoned house submerged in water, and she comes out and is like, hey, there's nobody in here. Yoink. And
yeah.
it's like this jump scare thing. And I remember being startled, and my brother just giggled, because I'm guessing that happens in the book, and he was waiting for it. And because up until that point, I did not know I was in a jump scary kind of maybe horror-ish film. And then it gets psychedelic at the end, and mm-hmm. trippy as balls, and like the end of 2001.
Yeah.
And I just, I admire that, because I feel like the film works as a whole, even though it's trying to do multiple genres at different times.
By the way, getting back to the... Lena is allowed to leave thing and everything. You do notice also that Oscar Isaac is like, are you Lena? And she doesn't answer.
Right.
So yeah. It's another one of those type of things. I mean,
she does flash her eyes like he does, but yeah. Again, like my brother said, that her DNA was changed already. So, and like you said, I ultimately don't think it really matters there at the end. That the future for humanity is probably bleak.
Yeah, well, annihilated.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. I in one of the reviews I read after I'd seen it, and again, this was probably something I knew at some point, but one of the definitions, or maybe even the root definition of annihilation, is we think of it as destruction, but it's actually creation. It's actually like when two opposing things like combine and become energy.
Mm.
It's basically one of the definitions of annihilation. When you look at the movie in that light, I thought, oh, that's kind of deep.
Landing yeah. is launching. Landing is launching. but yeah, so there are a lot of these nuggets to take from the movie and everything, and I do appreciate that type of thing. I just don't know for me whether or not that made a complete full experience for mm-hmm. me. So that's where I landed on this one.
And I appreciated that both the film inside of itself, the story, and the marketing of the film from the studio basically had a film with five female leads
mm-hmm.
and never made a big deal out mm-hmm. of it. And I saw an interview with Garland where he was like, oh, we never intended to make a big deal out of that. You know, when you start calling attention to it is when you kind of cheapen it. And what's funny is I'm reading that and I was like, oh, yeah, it was a team of five women.
Right.
Like, I'm sure at some point watching the movie, I was like, oh, there's no dudes in this group. But, you know, there are enough dudes in the story, I guess, maybe. I didn't realize it.
That's it passes the Bechdel test.
But that's the kind of equality we want.
Right.
It's the kind that feels natural and isn't, you know, something we have to make a hoopla about because it just is.
Yeah.
Well, and this is coming from Paramount, who that they did Mother as well. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested to see if, because I believe they went through some upheaval there for, you know, they went and changed all their, you know, their top execs and all, or changed at least one of them, because they weren't coming out with anything that was hitting, or unless it was like a Transformers or something like that.
Right.
And I wonder if the idea was, well, I'm going to be completely different from what Paramount's done in the past, and we're going to come out with Mother and Annihilation and, you know, and all that.
They do have a Mission Impossible coming out.
They do. I mean, you have to pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is interesting that the big studio is deciding to do this, and it will be also interesting to see if they think it's worth it. Because mm-hmm. Mother didn't do anything. This doesn't appear to be doing anything.
I wonder if it's like a Cloverfield Paradox thing, though, where that Netflix deal is worth
a chunk of change,
you know?
It could be.
And that they would trade a potential $100 million at the box office, which is less than likely, for $55 million from Netflix.
I doubt they got anything like that, because Cloverfield was apparently $50 million, and that was a known name entity. And this is also not including the United States for distribution. So I bet it was like somewhere more like $20 million.
Did you see that article that in 2018 they have 700 new original movies and series coming out?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're burning cash.
There was mm-hmm. there was a South Park that happened this past season where the basically the conceit was that if you called Netflix, you could just get your thing greenlit. And Cartman called. I think this is the one where they're planning on doing their own superhero franchise or something. And they have it all written out on a chalkboard, like solo movie for this character. You know, then we get to the full. It's all like the Avengers and everything. But they end up calling Netflix, and the guy answers the phone. Is like, "Hello, Netflix, you're greenlit. Please tell me your idea, please." You know, it is kind of like that.
Yeah, it kind of is.
All right, guys. If you're like me, I would say go to see it, but don't expect like to be just enthralled all the way through it.
If you go in with low expectations, or with saying like, you know, this is going to be something new, I think Jeremy mentioned last week that it's just unlike anything that he's seen before, which I agree with.
Yeah.
Then you can kind of be completely open to it and see, you know, what's happening. I guess you probably saw it like that too.
Yeah.
But you also had pretty high expectations because of Alex.
I did. And if you're like Jeremy and Barrett, go in head first and watch this thing.
Yeah, so baby.
That'll that'll do it for this mini pod.
It's a mini pod.
The Nile pod.
The Nile pod. This is Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott and Barrett Scherer. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
then last night I had a sexy dream with a celebrity.
A celebrity?
But I would never have predicted
it. Male or female?
Female. I'm glad that we're starting with a wide net.
Living or dead?
Living.
Youngish?
No.
Oldish. Angela Lansbury.
God, you! I say no to young, and you go straight to geriatric.
Julianne Moore.
No, but you're probably in the right age group.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No, and I have no idea how old she is. Should I just tell you?
Go ahead.
It's more Tierney.
Oh, Maura Tierney. Yeah. All right. No, I like me some Maura Tierney.
But it
man.
Was like super. I've never. I mean, she's cute, but I've never had like a thing for her.
Yeah, I have.
And it was just. Oh, it was like in college. One time, I had a vivid sex dream, and it was with J-Lo, and she wanted to make me like her sex toy. Basically, she would bring me everywhere with her, leave me in the hotel, go do whatever celebrity stuff she was doing, and she wanted me to stay there so she could fuck me whenever she wanted.
Nice.
And that was a super detailed, vivid dream. And that's kind of I had last night. Again, with an unexpected, nobody on my top 10 list, you know, nobody on my laminated, you know, I'm allowed to sleep with you list.